Once again, physicists from all parts of the U.S. left their desks and laboratories to lobby in Washington throughout the summer in favor of the supercollider. The theatrical high point of the struggle over the supercollider's survival probably came in a Senate debate on September 29th and 30th, 1993. Watching the debate, I had the surreal experience of hearing senators on the floor of the Senate arguing about the existence of Higgs bosons and quoting this book as an authority. Finally, on September 30th, the Senate voted 57-42 to fund the supercollider at the full amount, $640 million, requested by the administration. This decision was then upheld by the House Senate Conference Committee. But on October 19th, the House of Representatives voted by almost 2-1 to reject the Conference Committee's report and to send the Energy and Water Appropriations Bill back to the committee with instructions to delete funding for the supercollider. That committee has now met and agreed to terminate the project. Why did this happen? Certainly the supercollider program did not encounter any technical obstacles. In the year since this book was written, 15 miles of the main tunnel have been dug through the Austin Chalk beneath the surface of Ellis County, Texas. The housing is completed and technical equipment partly installed for the linear accelerator, the first in a series of accelerators that was designed to start protons on their way through the supercollider. Work is finished on the 570-meter tunnel of the low-energy booster, which would have accelerated protons emerging from the linear accelerator to 12 billion electron volts before passing them on to the medium-energy booster. This is low energy by today's standards, but when I started physics research, 12 billion volts would have been beyond the capacity of any laboratory in the world. Factories have been established in Louisiana, Texas, and Virginia to mass-produce the magnets that were to guide and focus protons on their way through the three boosters and the 54-mile main ring. The magnet development laboratory that I visited in 1991 has been joined on the site by other buildings, a magnet test laboratory, an accelerator systems test building, and a building to house the massive refrigerators and compressors for the liquid helium needed to cool the superconducting magnets of the main ring. One experimental program, a collaboration of over 1,000 PhD physicists from 24 different countries, was provisionally approved, and another was close to approval. Nor were there any discoveries in elementary particle physics that would have weakened the rationale for the supercollider. In our efforts to go beyond the standard model, we are still stuck. Without the supercollider, our best hope is that physicists in Europe will go ahead with their plans for a similar accelerator. The troubles of the supercollider project have been partly a side effect of unrelated political changes. President Clinton has continued the administration's support for the supercollider, but he has less at stake in it politically than did President Bush of Texas